All right, welcome back to the Beyond the Check podcast. That is, if you've listened before, the podcast where we talk about all things service industry, food, cooking, entertainment, bartending, drink, you know, and whatever comes to our mind, really. So whatever we feel like talking about. If you haven't had a chance yet, please go watch my show, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime. Check out some awesome chefs, and season two coming soon. Today, I have one of the most fantastic women I've ever met in my life. She gave me life. I would like to introduce everybody to my mother, Ma Parker. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, it's Ma Parker here.
Coming to us all the way from Athens, Ohio. How's the weather in Athens today?
Actually, it was pretty good today. It got in the 40s. But it was a really clear night, so it was like in the low 20s early this morning. So, I'm not sure what kind of a night it's going to be, but it was one of our warmer days, actually.
I just had to pull my sleeves down thinking about 20 degrees.
Well, at least it's not snowing.
It's snowing in Texas, though. It's snowing in Dallas. Yeah? It snowed in Dallas.
Really? In Dallas?
Today.
That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Because I went to college with some Texas people, and they thought it was really weird when it rained. And they don't know how to drive in the rain, let alone the snow.
In Texas?
Yeah.
Does it not rain in Texas either?
Well, it didn't seem to rain very much. They seemed sort of lost on that one.
Huh.
Maybe it was just the people themselves. They weren't experienced drivers. I don't know.
I mean, if you can't drive in the rain, you probably shouldn't be driving at all.
No.
Just a thought.
I had a friend that took her driver's license. She took her test 4 times, and they told her mom not to let her drive on the highway.
How old was she when you were a kid?
Yeah, when I was like 16.
4 times? Failed it 4 times.
Yeah. And I got mine the first time. Of course, I could parallel park back then. I probably couldn't pass the parking part of it this time.
Seriously? You've lost your skills at parallel parking?
Well, now they make you do this thing where you have to go up and over and... whatever. When the Saudi girls were here, they
you can parallel park license.
and I tried to practice in the school parking lot across the street with them, and I hit the thing every time.
Those cones will get you, man. Those cones will get you.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to do that.
Now your car will just do it for you, so you don't even have to worry about it.
Oh, I don't have that expensive of a car, honey.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Well, no, but they're out there. They are out there. So anyway, you were, and dad actually, both were in the service industry long, 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 long ago, which I think kind of gave me the okay to be a waiter, because dad always told me stories about, you know, when he waited and held the door for Elvis and like all that stuff. Otherwise, I probably would never have thought that waiting tables would be a viable thing to do.
Yeah. But I was a truck stop waitress.
You were a truck stop waitress.
I was a truck stop waitress when I was in high school and all my summers, my college summers.
Oh, that was your high school job? I always imagined it as your college job.
No, well, it was basically. It was after my senior year. I worked there like the summer after my senior year.
Gotcha. So it was your post high school job.
Yeah, I worked at a drugstore before that.
What was the drugstore called?
Aaronsburg's Pharmacy in Newark, Ohio. That used to be next door to where you used to work at. What was that bar you worked at?
Bunkies.
Bunkies, yeah.
Good old Bunkies. The best raspberry wheat you'll ever have had in your life. You can't get it now because they went out of business for tax evasion. About 20 years ago.
I like Bunkies.
But man, that I still have dreams about that raspberry wheat. It was one of the best raspberry wheats ever. Nothing like Sam Adams, like grenadine wheat. It was like tart.
I don't know. You know, I don't drink beer.
Poppy had one. I used to, I took growlers home when I lived with my grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
I lived with Poppy. I'd take him up there. Yeah. And so he actually got to try that raspberry wheat.
Well, that's good.
Fun fact. He wasn't supposed to because he had totally had diabetes and was definitely not supposed to be drinking beer. But, yeah, it was nothing compared to the Mountain Dew margaritas.
It was better than the orange pop he drank.
Yeah, he put Mountain Dew in his margaritas.
Yeah.
He discovered Mountain Dew very late in life and was like, this goes amazing. No, do you? That's okay. You're not supposed to have any of that. But anyway.
Actually, so just cutting the pop out made a big difference on this sugar.
Well, if you stop drinking soda, if you're a heavy soda drinker and you just stop drinking soda, you'll lose like 30 pounds in a month just doing nothing but not drinking soda.
Yeah, just the not drinking the soda was a big deal for him.
So anyway, what was the name of the truck stop?
7037. It was on I-70 on the corner of I-70 and 37 that goes into Granville.
Is it still there?
And 37 goes into Lancaster. Oh, yeah, it's still there.
Is it still a truck? Can you still get breakfast there?
Do what?
Can you still eat there? It's like, it's still got the truck stop diner and everything?
Oh, yeah, it's still a truck stop. They sell gas, and then there's a
and it still has the Popeyes same name?
There's a Popeyes attached to it now, and there might be something else, like Sbarro's or something. There might be something else there. A couple of, like, fast food places that are attached, but the restaurant's still there.
Still there. When? What year was it that you worked there?
I worked there in 1970.
50 years, that truck stop is still taking in truckers.
It is. And I think it's still owned by the same family, actually.
Shut up. That's impressive. I might have to go there someday.
Yeah.
Wow. So what was it like working in the truck stop in the 70s?
Well, I liked working trucker's counter because if you worked trucker's counter, you just had like your counter seats and you didn't have to deal with anything else. And truckers always leave you a decent... Well, back in those days, a quarter was considered a good tip. And truckers always left you at least a quarter. So I liked working that station. And then I didn't like working in the dining hall. You had tourists and kids and milkshakes and whatever. It was, you know, truckers...
All the hoodlums.
Truckers counter was coffee and meal. That was it, you know.
Nice. Easier. Easy peasy. See, you'd rather have a smack on the ass than a kid grabbing at you.
Yeah, no. The truckers were really good. They're nice guys. Truckers are nice guys.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's a bad stereotypical rap. Shame on me.
Yeah, that is. And then the other people that were really good were the UPS guys. They were always really good, too. They always left decent tips.
Yeah, I never thought of UPS drivers as truckers, but I guess they are, aren't they?
Well, no, they didn't sit at the counter. They sat in the dining hall.
Oh, banned from the counter, were they? Not truckers. Okay. Sorry, UPS drivers.
No, because the UPS drivers weren't on a time limit. You know, the truckers were more on a time limit. So that's why they had the truckers counter, so they could get served quick and get out of there quick.
Shove it in your face and run. Good times. Good times. So, think they still serve the exact same menu?
They probably serve something similar. You know, I mean
eggs and toast, bacon.
Yeah, breakfast and burgers.
Some things never change.
Fried chicken and whatever.
Fried chicken.
Yeah, the menu's probably very much still the same. They did have toasted pecan rolls. I did like those. Oh, I love toasted pecan rolls. You know where you just take
pecan roll in a long time.
Oh my god! You know what? Kroger's actually has fairly good ones. If you get them and just slice them in half, put butter on them, and put them in a griddle for a few seconds, and they're good. I love toasted pecan rolls.
Do you make homemade toasted pecan rolls, or just from Kroger now?
No, I made some at Christmas time. I made homemade.
Oh, didn't get any of those either, did I?
No, because I mailed your package long before I didn't make the pecan rolls till like the night before. And I've been making Granny's refrigerator rolls. Everybody loves those. You want to hear a dog story? Yeah, I had all of the rolls in this basket with a green napkin in it. And then I thought I'd taken them all out at Asia's. And I came home and I had Addison here and Frankie the dog, you know, the Pomeranian.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in that basket and grabbed, and there was a roll in there. And Addison grabbed it really quick, and she decided it was hers to eat. She likes the rolls. Everybody likes the homemade rolls.
But it was a dog treat?
No, it wasn't a dog treat. The dog just got in there when it wasn't supposed to, and there happened to be one in there that I had missed. So anyhow.
Gotcha. What's a refrigerator roll?
Well, it's Nate's grandma's recipe. Not a refrigerator roll. They're overnight rolls. Overnight rolls. So the odd part about them is that there's nothing warm. Like usually to make stuff rise, you have to have something warm in there, but you just mix it with regular milk and sugar and the yeast. And then you let that foam for like a half an hour. And then you add the flour and the salt and an egg. And I forget what else. I think that's probably it. And then you just let the dough rise overnight. You just leave it out overnight, and it doesn't rise a whole lot, but it does rise some. And then you punch it down. I make crescent rolls, so then I roll them out into a circle. It doesn't have to be a great circle because you're turning them into crescent rolls. And then you cut it into eight.
Hello.
You start at the fat end and you roll them up and curve them, and you get crescent rolls.
Yeah.
I brush mine with butter. Actually, I think I brushed them. I think the last time I brushed the dough with butter before I rolled them even. Then you have to let them rise again.
It's a lot of steps, these overnight rolls. I guess that's why it takes all night.
Well, yeah, but you don't really have to do much. That's the thing that's good about it. You're not like kneading or anything like that. You're just like, you just mix it up and you just leave it overnight and it rises. It doesn't rise a whole lot, but it rises.
It rises. So, so you're from an era of food that took on its own kind of, oh, I don't even know how to put this, casseroles and Jell-O molds.
I grew up in the casserole and Jell-O era.
Of the 70s, 60s, like what?
Well, I was born in 52. I was born in 52. So like in the 60s when I was a kid pretty much.
So what was something like, who cooked, grandma or poppy when you were a kid?
Grandma actually probably cooked more when I was a kid because poppy was working all the time. But then when poppy retired, he cooked more.
So what was something that grandma walkins ball your mom would what was something that your mom would was a staple dish back in your childhood?
Well, one of the things I remember, I associate with her is ham rolls. She made ham rolls that were really good.
Ham rolls. What is a ham roll?
A ham roll is like, it's like ground ham and sausage and whatever. And then it has this goopy red sauce over top of it. They were good. That's one of the things I associate with grandma.
I'm still confused.
My grandma Watkins Fall, hers was tapioca pudding, and that was also one of my mom's favorites. But my mom didn't make it so much. My grandma Watkins Fall, Lala Grandma, as we called her, she made really great tapioca pudding.
Yeah, no one's eating tapioca pudding anymore. Don't you remember?
I used to leave tapioca pudding on grandma's grave on Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I remember tapioca pudding being in their refrigerator. But, like, does anybody still eat tapioca pudding? Comment or something. Let me know if you still eat tapioca. Is it in nursing homes? Where do we find tapioca pudding nowadays?
It's hard to find the tapioca to make the tapioca pudding. But they sell tapioca pudding in every grocery store. Sells tapioca pudding.
Yeah, I guess so.
They sell pudding in, like, a little refrigerator section that's usually down the Jell-O aisle.
Yum.
I buy it. I buy tapioca pudding. I make rice pudding actually.
Make a comeback. Tapioca pudding, it's time for a comeback.
Make rice pudding. I get like this purple rice. I get purple rice and I make rice pudding out of that. Nice. Which I should make some. I haven't made any of that for a while. Pudding's a good thing to make when you've got, like, I don't drink milk a lot. So if I've got milk and it's going to go bad, I make pudding out of it before it goes bad. And because it uses up a lot of it. That or quiche, that's the other thing you can do with milk if you don't drink a lot of milk. I don't drink much milk. It's nice to have it around because, you know, like you want to make mashed potatoes or whatever.
Yeah, I make sausage gravy when I'm like, oh my God, I need to use all this milk. So I guess I'll make sausage gravy and biscuits. Got to use the milk.
Yeah,
because it'll take up a good half gallon just to make.
So
one thing.
You can make it with coffee. Then it's called red eye gravy. If you make it with
coffee. I never
coffee.
Think of doing that. I should do that.
Yeah. I've never actually made that because, you know, I don't drink coffee, so I never have coffee. But
I drink coffee every day. Supposedly,
if you make your sausage gravy and biscuits with coffee, then it's red eye gravy.
I'm doing that next time. Red eye graving it next time I make sausage gravy and biscuits. So Jordan doesn't eat it anyway, so she won't care if I put coffee in it.
Yeah.
But I do love sausage gravy and biscuits. So again, can I get back to this pork roll thing or this ham roll? So what was it? Roll?
Ham loaf.
Ham loaf.
It's like a meatloaf. It's like a
ham
meatloaf.
Ham loaf. Oh, I thought you said a ham roll.
No, a ham loaf. So it's like meatloaf made out of pork and made out of a pig instead of a cow, whatever.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Nobody does that anymore either.
You know, and Poppy's favorite, which I've decided is I'm going to make a batch of them because they are really good. You know how I make tea? I make tea and put Bailey's in it in the evening or in the morning. It's great breakfast food. But if you dip snickerdoodles, I made snickerdoodles for Aunt Grace because it's her favorite. So I made them for her. And that was after I sent your package too. But then I was dipping them in my tea and Bailey's and they're really good. So that's one of Poppy's notorious recipes is snickerdoodles. And his secret was that he put a little bit of orange zest, and a little bit of orange flavoring in his.
Yeah, it really kicks him up a notch.
But it makes it, you know what, when you dip them in that Bailey's, oh my God, they're so good.
Mm. That's true. But a little bit of orange, the cream, the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you're having chai tea probably, huh?
Well, I have spice teas that I add the Bailey's to. There's different kinds of teas you can get.
As long as there's Bailey's in it, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, as long as there's Bailey's. If it's got spice and it's got Bailey's, it's good.
Touche. So let's get into a dive into real detail about one of your very favorite desserts, something that probably nobody listening has ever tried before. And
my orange Jell-O.
The orange Jell-O. Let's.
It's a salad. It's actually a salad. I always make it on New Year's. I make it on New Year's with the pork roast and sauerkraut.
But it's definitely a 60s. It's definitely a 60s, 70s era style salad.
So, yeah, it's a Jell-O salad. It's really good. It's all creamy. It's got all this creamy topping on it, and it's good. I love orange Jell-O. And you know what? None of you kids ever liked it, but I took it to the senior lunch, and they asked for the recipe. Everybody loved it. It's an old people's food, I guess.
Yeah, they're like this and tapioca pudding. We're good for life. That's all we need. In fact, we're sick of the tapioca. Some more Jell-O. More Jell-O, please. So what? Walk me through making this orange Jell-O salad. What is going on here?
Well, you have a long, you know, you have a glass pan, a 13x9 glass pan, and then you empty a big box of orange Jell-O in it, and then you add 2 cups of boiling water, and you stir that until it's all dissolved, and then you have a can of I make mine with pineapple tidbits and mandarin oranges.
Pineapple tidbits.
Pineapple tidbits and mandarin oranges. Somebody used to make it with apricots in it, but I never really put the apricots in. So you can get canned apricots too. But anyway, so you squeeze all of the juice out of the fruit, out of the cans, and it should make 2 cups of juice. So you add 1 cup of that juice to your Jell-O. And stir it up. So, and then you let it, so make sure that's all stirred really well. Then you put in the fruit and stir the fruit in, and then you put it in the fridge until it gets hard.
Cool. So it's basically orange Jell-O with pineapple and mandarin oranges.
Right.
Chill it. And then what's happening?
Okay. Then you take that, you have a cup of juice left over, right?
Okay.
because you got two cups out of that, and then you got one cup left over. So you take that cup of juice.
You got one cup of juice.
You melt a couple tablespoons of butter in a pan, and then you stir in, you take the juice, you add like, I think it's 3 tablespoons of flour, 1/2 cup of sugar.
She's got it memorized, people.
And 1 egg. Well, because I made it not that long ago, because I make it on New Year's.
Right.
And 1 egg, and you whip that all together, and you add that into the melted butter, and you heat that until it thickens. So it gets so it thickens up, and then you melt in 3 ounces of cream cheese. And then after that's all melted and that cools down, then you have
It's an orange, buttery, creamy, cheesy topping.
Yeah, it's like a white sauce. Basically, you're making a white sauce with fruit juice, so it's sweet.
Cool.
You know, it's like a white sauce, but instead of being, you know, white sauce is
with like a little bit of zing from the cream cheese too.
Yeah, like yeah. And then you beat a cup of whipping cream. So take 8 ounces of whipping cream and beat it, and then you fold that into the other mixture,
which thickens it up and sweetens it a little more.
Well, it sweetens it more. It thins it down, really. The whipping cream thins it down because it's thicker before that. The other part's thicker.
Really?
And then and then you spread that on top of the Jell-O. And then you grate orange cheese on top of that.
Orange cheese? Just like any kind of orange cheese?
Like Colby cheese. Cheese, cheddar. I use extra sharp cheddar because that's the kind of cheese I always have around.
So let me recap. We have orange Jell-O filled with pineapple tidbits, mandarin oranges, chilled, and then topped with an orange cheesy whipped topping. And then you top it with
cheese. Doesn't have any orange in it. The topping's not orange at all. The topping's
I thought there was a cup of juice left over that went in.
Well, there's a cup of juice left over from like the mandarin oranges and the pineapple.
Okay.
So it's just the juice that's left over from the canned fruit.
Gotcha.
And that's what makes it sweet. That's what instead of having milk, like when you make a white sauce, usually you use milk, but you're making this with fruit juice
and cream, and then you add in whip.
And then you melt the cream. Then you melt the cream cheese in it, and then you fold over the whipping cream into it.
Orange Jell-O salad.
And it's orange, yes. It's mom's infamous orange Jell-O that nobody else likes except mom.
And anybody over the age of 65.
Big Boob Deb like it.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that only like kind of your generation still is like into and just like on a popular basis, like pickled pig.
Oh, yeah.
Pickled pig's feet.
I rediscovered one of grandma's and I called my brother and he was like, oh my God, I haven't had one of those forever. But grandma used to make.
What was it? Oh yeah. Go ahead.
Grandma used to make, this is one of her sandwich dinners or whatever, when she would take, you know, like light toast and spread it peanut butter on it. And then she would put a little bit of relish on there. And then she would lay crisp bacon on top. And then grated cheddar cheese on top of that and stick it under the broiler. Oh, my God, it's so good. I forgot how good it was.
That sounds ridiculous.
I made one a couple weeks ago, and it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot all about these.
I can't believe people decided to put those ingredients together.
Hey, it's better than the Spam. She used to make mustard sauce. That was like really disgusting.
What? Spam with mustard sauce?
Yeah, different. Yeah, you know, I grew up in the era of Spam and Tang. You know, you didn't have orange juice. You had Tang. You know, it was this powdered crap that you would just like put in water and stir up. And that was your orange juice.
That was fucking orange juice.
Your orange juice in the morning.
What was people? Were there not oranges in the 60s? What was what happened to the oranges? Did Florida not exist?
Well, you didn't have produce back then like you have today. You know, like back then you had oranges, apples, and maybe pears and bananas, and that was, you know, like all year, like now all year long in the grocery store you have strawberries and blueberries and
everything all year round.
Yeah, you have everything all year round. Kiwi fruit and grapes, and you have everything all year round. You know, back then you didn't have, you were much more limited in your fruits and vegetables, especially back in the old days. But then again, people like put up their own vegetables, you know, like they'd can their green beans. You know, people had gardens. Most everybody had gardens, you know, and that was one of the things that happened with COVID was they, you know, there was a sellout on gardening materials this year because there were so many more people that were gardening.
Yeah.
So, and then when it came time to can, there was a shortage of canning jars and canning lids.
Was everyone just like, someone just check the analytics on canning on YouTube during that period? Because I'm sure nobody knew how to can, but they watched.
Well, yeah,
somebody made an Instagram of like how to can your food, and then next thing you know, there was like a run on the jars, and everyone decided to can and grow gardens.
Yeah. Well, and some things are easy to can, you know, like jelly's really easy to do. I only still can salsa. I still can salsa, not every year because it's just me by myself. So I do about 40 jars of salsa. So it lasts me 2 years, sometimes longer.
Gee, many.
So, yeah. I buy Roma tomatoes from this guy from the farmer's market every year or whenever I make it. And I buy seconds from him on peppers and stuff, and you know, like I can put, I forget what it cost me to do that. Not much. It probably doesn't even cost me $20 to put away 40 pints of salsa.
You should go into the salsa business, woman.
And well, yeah, but well, that's not counting your time. That's just the vegetables and stuff. Right.
Still.
So anyhow, it's not what I want to do.
Ma Parker's salsa, come on.
No, canning, you know, is a bitch. It takes 10 cups. Okay, so this is what I've started doing, which makes it easier. It takes 10 cups of tomatoes. So I still cut my tomatoes by hand because I don't want them all mushed up. I like more like a fresh salsa. So you have to like put an X on the bottom of, and I use all Romas. You have to put an X on the bottom, pop them into boiling water, and then you can take the skin off of them, and then you chop them up. And so I do all the tomatoes. I do the box of tomatoes so that I have multiple batches, because you can only do one batch at a time. So I might have 40 cups of tomatoes, just tomatoes. And
just
then
peeling the tomatoes probably takes a lot of the time, huh?
It does take a long time. So if every time you make a batch, you do those 10 cups of tomatoes, it's a pain in the butt. So once you get that system down, then I do all the tomatoes, and I put them in big gallon jugs, and I put them in the fridge. And then when I make a batch, I just have the tomatoes already. Makes it much easier. Everything else I put in the food processor. So I put the green peppers and the hot peppers and the onions and the garlic. I put all of that in the food processor. I just jolt it and then it pops it.
So then what is the actual process of canning? Just
the actual process is that you have a hot liquid, whether it's salsa or whatever it is, you have a hot liquid.
It's gotta be hot.
Yeah, and then
so like when you're canning green, when you're canning like green beans and stuff, are those go in like hot too?
Yeah, green beans take a lot longer. Most people pressure can green beans because they're something that's acidy, like tomatoes or something like Jell-O. You don't have to process very long, but green beans you have to process for a long time.
Gotcha.
So the basic process is you wash all your jars and your canning lids. And then you get your kettle going with water in it, and then you put your jars down in that water so they'll be hot. And you have another pan that you put your lids in, so they'll be hot.
Everything's got to be hot.
Yeah, and then you have your whatever gripper things that you take it out with. And so you take out a jar, dump the water, set it down. fill it with whatever you want to can, and then wipe the rim off of it and around the edge and stick a knife in to make sure there's no air bubbles. Wipe the rim off, and then you take your stuff and pull out a lid, stick it on, pull out a screw lid and stick that on, screw it on tight. Then you put all of those filled jars back into the canner and you process them. You let it, the water has to boil.
So it just sits and processing is just sitting in boiling water.
Yeah, yeah. Like you don't want to. Yeah, like no. Who? I certainly wouldn't want to make home canned stuff for a living.
Maybe if you had.
No, but back in the day,
maybe like if you had a machine to do the canning for you.
Like your grandma Ogilby, she probably did like 200 jars of beans every year. So I mean, you know, people do a lot. People used to do a lot of canning. Like hundred, you know, like a lot of canning and tomatoes. They did tomatoes, you know, just straight tomatoes, and then you have that to put in like chili and spaghetti sauce and
whatever you want for the rest of the year. Well, need to get back to it, huh?
We could if you know, like if things keep going the way they are, we might wish we had a big garden. I put in 8 raised beds last year.
Well, I'm sure there's probably something coming where there will be like indoor home garden kits where you can have a little greenhouse and grow your, you know, little vegetables in like a spare bedroom. You just turn into like, you know, for like the city or like high metro areas that don't have enough room to actually have gardens besides on the roofs. And of course, you know, you should use the roofs and all that too. But indoors.
You can do roof gardens. People do roof gardens. Turn the roof into a garden. There's places like that, even at, like in downtown Columbus. One of those buildings has gardens on the roof, I'm pretty sure. There's a hospital, too, that has gardens on the roof.
All roofs should have a garden and solar panels. Come on, now.
Yeah, yeah, they really should.
Water catchment. So, reuse, recycle the nature. Come on, now. Bones is up on the desk hanging out with you. He's got his head up to the microphone. I think he wanted to say hi. But... Bones is on the desk and he's got his little face up to the microphone like he wants to say hi, but he doesn't know what to say.
No. Hey, Bones. How you doing? I got a new dog. I got that Frankie coming and staying with me sometimes. The Pomeranian.
Pom-pom. Still a big furry ball. Like, does she ever get a haircut? No.
Yeah, he does get haircuts. And he gets his hair cut around his butt so that it doesn't stick there.
That's good.
Yeah, them fuzzy, but you know, I have a wild cat out there that's not looking so good on her behind lately.
But anyway, yeah. So, how's life in Ohio?
Life in Ohio is quiet. You know, I mean, we're still. I know you guys don't shut her down and all that kind of stuff, but basically that's still happening in Ohio. Like okay. I don't go to restaurants and I don't go to the store all that much. Kroger's.
Does Asia ever bring you dinner from Purple Chopsticks?
I watch Addison every Saturday night, so I get dinner from Chopsticks once a week.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Last night I had a, what do you call that? It's a piccata, a chicken piccata. And it had asparagus and tomatoes. I love tomatoes, like on the grill. And and garlic mashed potatoes, which weren't too garlicky. They were good. And then I had, and a salad with raspberry dressing and chocolate cheesecake. Ooh, still have chocolate cheesecake up there. I'm going to have that when we finish watching the football
game. Snapple. Thank God I called. That cheesecake could have gotten completely forgot about. Viva la cheesecake.
So I can't believe you don't watch football anymore.
When did I ever watch football? I've never watched
football. Well, when football. You were a baby, you did because you watched football with your dad.
Obviously, I didn't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I watched basketball in the early 90s, and that was
whatever.
I mean, it
just still amazes me to see people throw a ball from that far away and hit something like that. I find it amazing. I love watching them throws.
I mean, that's don't get me wrong. I would like to go play some football if I could.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't need to get distracted by the distraction of champions. I'm okay. I got enough to do. I help make a podcast about sports. I feel like that's my contribution to sports, and it ends there.
There you go.
I'm into other things. I don't play video games either, so I don't watch sports and I don't play video games.
Weird. Yeah. I don't play video games either. I don't do much of anything on the computer.
I wouldn't mind playing Star Wars on Oculus though, because have you ever put on an Oculus? The like headset thing that like into virtual reality?
Actually I did this research thing at OU one time that involved that. I wasn't real fond of it.
I mean, it makes you kind of dizzy.
Oh, it makes you kind of dizzy
when you come out of it. I found the key to taking it off. You have to close your eyes first and then take it off and then wait a second and open your eyes to come back to reality. Because otherwise, it's just too jarring to just rip the face mask off and you're just like from one world to the other. Just like, wham, what the hell? Whoa.
I thought it was kind of dizzying just doing that. Just like, because it was like this walking thing and it was just like jerky and whatever.
They got new ones now that's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, this was years ago.
Like stupid real where you're just like, oh, okay, am I in a dream? Like, this is what lucid dreaming is like. This is nuts. But Jordan's nephew had one at Thanksgiving, so he made me put it on. It was crazy. I had a point to that. I think maybe that was it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, did you call your nephew today? Because you know he turned 10 today.
No.
Oh, well,
I was going to, but he doesn't have a direct line, so I kind of just.
Well, no, you can call the line that's to the house. Those 7100.
The boys will answer every time you call them. I don't have that. Will you text it to me?
Yeah, I'll text it to you.
Okay.
Because that's the best way to get the boys.
Because I'm sure they sprint for the phone every time it rings, right?
So
that's a boy's phone. Yeah. Cool. Happy birthday, Milo. Happy 10th birthday.
Woo. Yeah. He made me a grandma 10 years ago. That boy made me a grandma. He's special. They're all the first special. One, boy. Little Harper's special. Little Ellis. You should see little Ellis. He does the... Because he's in the Frankenstein stage when he walks, you know?
My middle sister has my three sons. She's got three sons.
Right? Sorry.
It's like my three sons.
Yeah, my three sons. She has my three sons, yeah.
If there's an oldie but a goodie, if anyone figures out what that's a reference to.
Milo Harper and Ellis. My three sons was a dad whose wife had died. Huh?
I know what it was. I watched it on Nick at Night when I was a kid, but now Nick at Night's like Cheers and like Growing Pains and stuff or something. Like, I don't think Mr. Ed's on there anymore.
Mr. Ed?
Yeah, Mr. Ed.
They had Mr. Ed on there, really?
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was like Nick at Night, My Three Sons.
I thought you were talking about now.
Oh, no, but it was on there forever. I'm sure it's on somewhere, like TNT Classics or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Criterion Collection of Television. Is that a thing?
I don't know. What is it?
The Criterion Collection of Television. Is that somewhere? No. Everything's probably banned because it's all like, it's all not PC. you can't watch anything.
I know. That's Well, because my favorite books, and they still are, I don't care. My favorite books are the Uncle Remus stories, and those are banned. Those are considered politically incorrect. But you know what? I think part of why they're considered politically incorrect is because of the language, like the dialect, and we know, which to me is more politically incorrect to claim that dialect to be politically incorrect than it is to whatever, just accept it as a valid dialect.
It's a little sideways. Like, is it a slap in the face to Aunt Jemima to take her face off and save the name, or is it, you know, a slap in the face to leave her face on there and like it somehow it's racist? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
I know, and I finally found actually one of my favorite books when I was a kid was Little Black Sambo. Because the tigers connect each other and they run round and round and round and round and they make all of this butter.
They turn into butter.
And that they turn into butter, and then his mom makes all of the pancakes, makes like some ridiculous number of pancakes.
Like he got like hunted by this tiger, right? The tiger, or like the panther was trying to kill Sambo.
No, the tigers were trying to. The tigers would go after little black Sambo, and he had these fancy shoes and this red jacket and blue trousers and whatever, and so he would trade them. He would say, you know, if you save my life, I'll give you this, right? And then all of the tigers got into a big fight over who had the best.
Who got the clothes, and then they chased each other around the tree.
Yeah, and then they chased each other, and they and grabbed they each other's tails.
And then they had pancakes.
and then they had pancakes. So, you know, that was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I love pancakes.
I like that gnome one. What was that gnome one you used to read me?
The gnome and the crystal clear. The gnome in the crystal cave.
Yeah, but he had a name. Like, what was the gnome's name? It wasn't like what's his name, the gnome, and like his wife. Not that, with like the grinding their butts into gold or whatever stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Henry the gnome, or Hunter the gnome.
You know, it was like the stories you used to ride on like foxes' backs and stuff. That's a different gnome. The gnome I'm talking about, like, it was a very short story. It had like, he looked like a mushroom.
Is that what you're thinking of?
That's what I'm thinking of.
It wasn't Toto. It was I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and he did look like a mushroom.
Oh man, that's gonna drive me crazy. I had those out
not that long ago because I was showing them to Addison. What happened to those books?
The gnome. Yeah, man. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, post on that. Let me know.
Okay, I'm gonna look here on the bookshelf and see if I can find him. I found him.
Oh, yolk. Good old.
Oh yeah, I forgot about yolk.
Yeah, I remember.
Those were great little books.
That and the little prince. I remember.
Little Prince and how many donkeys?
Oh, how many donkeys? There was.
Yeah, that was a Sufi story. Yeah, that was a Sufi story, a Nasruddin story.
All right. Well,
and Nasruddin has he's riding the donkey, and there's supposed to be 10 of them or whatever, and he.
I think it was 13 donkeys.
Yeah, I forget how many it was, but he didn't count. He'd get off the donkey.
Hold on now. Let's tell the story. Slow down. Okay, so Nasruddin, we're going to end with this, but Nasruddin. He's supposed to take these donkeys to the next town, and he counts the donkeys, you know, when he picks them up, and he's like, all right, there's 13 donkeys. So he gets on the donkey and takes off, starts riding. About halfway there, he turns around to count the donkeys, make sure they're all there. 1, 2, 3, 12. He only counts 12, and he's like, damn it, I lost a donkey. So he gets down and he starts looking around to see where the donkey wandered off to, and he decides, well, he better count them again. He counts them again. By God, there's 13 donkeys. So he gets back on the donkeys, take off, right? And he's almost where he's supposed to go. And he's like, I better count the donkeys again. So he turns around and counts the donkeys. And by God, there's only 12. So he gets off the donkeys and he counts all the donkeys again. And he's like, well, God damn it, there's 13 now. So he gets back on the donkeys. And he rides. He shows up, delivers the donkeys. And he's like, he rides in and he counts the donkeys. He's like, oh, man, I must have lost a donkey. I'm so sorry. And the guy... He's like, what are you talking about? There's 13 donkeys here. And he's like, what are you talking? No, I only count 12. And he's like, well, Nasruddin, you're sitting on one of them. And that was the Nasruddin story.
that was the Nasruddin story. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get back. I'm going to watch my football game, honey.
All right, you watch your football game. Thanks for hanging out.
Well, thanks for hanging out with me, too.
Check out Wabi Wellness Center on Facebook or Google it if you need to. You know, learn about some herbal stuff. P.S. My mom's an herbalist. I guess we should have started with that. Maybe we'll talk about some herb stuff next time.
Yeah, we should talk about some. Yeah, we can do herbal remedies.
Yeah,
we'll do that. During COVID would be great. We could do, I can talk about making the elderberry syrup and.
All right, cough. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, that sounds good. We can do that next time, okay?
All right, next time, herbs with Ma Parker, herbal all remedies. Right. Good times. Go like Beyond the Check on Facebook. Please follow this podcast on whatever you like to listen to podcasts on, Apple, blah, 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 blah. And like Beyond the Check on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. Also, go watch season 1, now streaming on Amazon Prime. And Mom, love you. Thanks for hanging out.
Okay, love you too, honey. I'll talk to you later. Don't forget to call your nephew.
Calling the nephew.
All righty. Bye.
Bye. Cheers.